As the offering is being collected, I've been talking for several weeks now about the body of Christ. The church is a body, and that has relational connections, and it's about walking alongside of people and getting to know one another and speaking into each other's lives. And from time to time, we like to design ways to help facilitate that. Right, Lois? So Lois, come on up. Lois just wants to share something really briefly that you've seen, I trust, in your program, maybe on an announcement slide. Something new is going on. Oh, yes, an insert. Something new is going on this week. So starting.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that we're having a ladies' night out starting the third Friday of every month, beginning this Friday. It's kind of a way for ladies to connect. I look at you ladies as a person who is intriguing, and I want to get to know you. But on Sunday morning, we're dashing around back and forth sometimes, and we can't connect. And this is not to displace the Bible studies and all that, but I believe that as we get to know each other relationally, we will be able to pray for each other. We will be able to understand our hearts better, learn from each other. And it's just a way, an informal way of doing that.
Excellent. This Friday night at 7
This Friday 7 night from 7 to 9, but if you want to pop in later or come when you can, don't let that be a stopper for you. And come, it's informal. You can come in your pajamas and slippers if you want to. That's the kind of person I am. I'm a farm girl, and just I would love it if it would be intergenerational, all the way from 18 plus, all the way up to 108. If you're 108, come too. So, okay?
All right. Thank you, Lois. All right. The men have been enjoying Man Cave, and now the women have a similar opportunity. To continue the sermon from last Sunday, if you were here last Sunday, these odd icons or images you see on the screen, you may remember them and what they represent. If you weren't here last Sunday, you're like, I have no clue what this is even about. But we've been spending a lot of time at Living Hope over the past year, actually, kind of on and off, little bits and pieces, talking about identity and how that's revealed in our gifting and different ways that God has created us, all that sort of thing. And now we've kind of come to this point where, for the last several weeks, we've actually been considering the idea of what is our identity as a body, as Living Hope, this part of the local body of Christ. What is our identity? What are the unique things about us, or how is God made or knit together this particular body, and what are some of the things he's calling us to? So I started into that last week. 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Paul's analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about the church. He likens a church to a body, the functioning of a body. And then last week, we began this sharing of what, as elders, we find to be helpful, four helpful things that we believe is what God is calling Living Hope to. Now, these things are not like super unique. I think every church in the world is called to these things. But these are the groupings, if you will, that God is really stressing for us as we serve him, as we serve him. So there are three ministry areas, but they are preceded by one foundational prerequisite, if you know what a prerequisite is. That's something that has to happen first. And so just to go back briefly with where we were last Sunday, we said that this is the prerequisite. Encounter comes first. This picture, if you look at the white part rather than the red part, is the profile of two faces that are looking at each other. And this came from the scripture's description of how God would relate to Moses. God would relate to Moses. It says that when God would speak to Moses, they would speak face to face, as a man does with his friend. And that is what we long for in all we do, this place of encounter, where we have a relationship with God that it's like speaking face to face with a friend, that our communication is open with him, we seek him through regular encounters, through the word, worship, fasting, prayer. And as we do that, it will position us to be led by him rather than pursuing our own ideas. This whole thing of encounter really is about hearing from God. An encounter has to come first, because apart from encounter, we're just sort of doing our own thing. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to just do our own thing. So I mentioned last Sunday a number of things that the elders are trying to put in place in the way we function as a team in terms of putting encounter first. One of the things I said that is each Sunday, we are meeting here at 8 o'clock to pray through the building, to pray over the space, to pray and inviting God's presence. And I said, anyone is welcome. And we had a number of additional people join us this week, so hopefully we'll have even more next week. 8 o'clock in the morning. And the thing that I shared during worship, that all came out of that time of seeking encounter, that time of seeking God, and what are you saying for us this morning, and what is on God's heart, that came out of that. So encounter comes first. That's the foundation. Encounter is the foundation. So through everything we do at Living Hope, we want that to be the foundation, and then as we go from there, we lay that foundation. We look at ministry in basically three spheres, three areas at Living Hope. And as I shared last Sunday, I felt like the Lord gave me these kind of unusual illustrations that might help us connect to these themes in a little, from a little different angle, from a little different perspective than we might normally do in a church. So back to the odd pictures. This was the first one, three areas of ministry. Can Living Hope be like a, and the first question was like a hospital. Can Living Hope be like a hospital, not be a hospital? We don't have any intentions of becoming a hospital, but can we be like a hospital? What do you mean by that? I speak quite a bit more about this in the sermon last week, so that's available on the podcast. But just generally speaking, Jesus said it clearly, did he not? He said, it is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And he said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And my question from last Sunday is, can we be like a hospital? Hospitals exist to help the hurting and the sick. That's what they're there for. A hospital is not offended if you come in with the flu, if you come in with a broken arm. That's not offensive to them. That's what they're there for. They expect every day to deal with people who are in need of their care. Can we be a church like that? Can we be a place where hurting and broken people are not judged, they're not looked down on, but they're welcomed? Like, yes, this is what God calls us to. This is what we're here for. We want to walk alongside of you. We want to listen to your story. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to do whatever we can to help you get to the doctor. Remember, Jesus does the healing. We're just the nurses, okay? We're just the nurses. That's from last Sunday's sermon. You can go listen to that in much more detail. So now let's go on to the second and third. The second and third things. I mentioned these last week just briefly. You may have forgotten them by now, but this is number two. Can Living Hope Community Church be like a gym? A gym. Now, some of you might be thinking, yeah, that's cool, gym. I like going to the gym. And others are like, what? I don't want to be anything like a gym. A bunch of sweaty people? Like, what are we thinking here? I imagine when I said gym last week that maybe a number of you had some ideas of where I was going with this. And you were probably right. I mean, it's not a real complex analogy. But I would say, before we start talking about gym, to me it was helpful to think of a hospital and a gym with this difference. I think of a hospital more as kind of like an event. And what I mean by that is, if your appendix starts hurting and is on the verge of rupturing, you go to the hospital, they take care of you, they remove your appendix, you heal from that, and you'll never have to deal with that again as long as you live. I mean, your appendix is gone. You only have one appendix. It's like an event. You say, yeah, 7 years ago, I had my appendix taken out. 8 years ago, I broke my leg. I went in. They reset it, put it in a cast, wore that for a couple weeks, and now that's behind me. So if you think of a hospital kind of like event-ish, if that makes sense, It doesn't work that way in a gym. If you tell your doctor, if he asks you, do you work out? Do you do anything to try to maintain your health? And you say, yeah, 7 years ago I went to a gym. It was really good. Your doctor's not going to be impressed by the fact that you went to a gym one time 7 years ago. Gyms don't work like that. If a hospital is more about an event, a gym is like more like what? Say it for me. What word would you use? A lifestyle, somebody said. How about a process? It's ongoing. The work, the benefit of a gym, if you're into that kind of thing, only is realized over the long haul. It's a process. You don't go to a gym once and say, okay, I checked that off my list. I don't ever have to do that again. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. So when we say, could the church be like a gym? Let's come at it kind of with that lens. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, you'll find this on page 852 if you're using one of the guest Bibles. Hebrews 12. I'm going to start in verse 1 at the beginning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and if I just stop there, what that's referring to is Hebrews chapter 11. Now, those of you who are familiar with Hebrews might recognize Hebrews chapter 11. Some people call that the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 is an amazing list of people through history, through the scripture, through the Old Testament, that God used mightily because of their faith. So when this therefore in the beginning of Hebrews 12 refers back to that list, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's referring to the people in chapter 11, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The author here is using kind of this physical exercise or physical exertion example here of a race, okay? Verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Now, verses 7 to 11 are just a further explanation of this thing as God in a disciplinary role as a father. Now, we could spend a lot more time on that, but I'm going to jump down just to verse 12, just to finish 12 and 13. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. So, the whole thing of discipline, the discipline of a father, as we see it here, it's the same way with a dad, right? It's not something to brag about. You say, yeah, I disciplined my child one time, you know, when they were a year and a half. Now, maybe your kid was really that good, but most kids need a process of discipline, ongoing discipline. And then when your job ends as their parent, God kind of picks up from there. He does the disciplining. But it's because this thing of the Christian life, it's a walk, it's a journey. So let me just make a couple observations here that I think connect with where I'm going with this thing of a gym. First of all, so a gym is a place for losing weight, right? A gym is a place for losing weight. If you involve or interview people that go in and out of a gym, I imagine a fair number of them would say, I come to a gym to lose weight. Now, I'm not talking about physical weight this morning. That can be a good thing to lose excess weight, but I'm not talking about physical weight. A gym is a good place for losing weight. Notice what verse said, verse 1. Verse 1 of Hebrews 12, we just read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. Everything that hinders. Most Bible translations write that in English, throw off every weight. Every weight. You go to the gym to lose weight. If Living Hope is to be like a gym, that means that we want to function as a place where we help people lose weight. Throw off weight. Get rid of the weight that is hindering, that is weighing you down. What kind of weight are you talking about? You said you're not talking about physical weight. Anything that's hindering your race. Remember, this analogy that's written here is the analogy of a race. So have you ever seen a runner in a competitive race wearing a backpack with snacks and a water bottle, you know, sunglasses? No. Not in a serious race. You've never seen that, I guarantee you. Runners don't wear an ounce more than they absolutely have to be acceptable in their attire. They look for the lightest fabric, just the thinnest fabric, because they don't want to be weighed down. And this is the race analogy here. You got to get rid of the weight. If you're going to run, you got to get rid of the weight. If you're going to be in this race, you got to get rid of the weight. Throw off the weight. Throw off the weight. What kind of weight? It can be a long list, but this will connect with you, I'm sure. Lies you've believed about yourself. Many of us grow up believing things about ourselves that aren't true. The weight of past sins, where you have not come to the realization that God forgives sins. It doesn't matter how bad they were. But if Living Hope is if we as a body can come around people and help them realize, understand God is a forgiving God, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins, if we can help people identify weights. The problem is a runner with a backpack, anybody can see that a mile away. Like, yo, dude, get rid of the backpack. It's not always that visible in our personal lives. But there are things that weigh us down. Emotional or spiritual wounds from the past or ongoing situations. People that have been hurt by the church are a challenge. People that have been hurt by a church are very resistant to kind of let another church get close to them. Do we have, at Living Hope, the patience and the compassion to come alongside of people who have been hurt by pastors and churches to take the time it will require to build trust, to try to create a space where Jesus can minister to them? Do we have that? Do we have that patience? I believe we must, and I believe that many of you do. So this is the thing about losing weight. So when you think of a gym, why do we want to be like a gym? We want to help people lose weight. We want to help people shed the things that are hindering their race. Number two, why else do you go to a gym? You go to a gym to gain strength. It's very simple, right? You go to lose weight, and you go to gain strength. This is all part of this journey. You'll notice what it said in verse 12 that we read, the last two verses I read in that particular passage. Verse 12 says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. If we are going to pursue Christ, we're going to make it our aim to run the race that He has marked out for us, we need to get stronger. We need to gain strength. That's why you go to a gym, to gain strength. Hopefully, many things that we do here at Living Hope will aid you in that. Hopefully, when we have a time of worship, that's a time where you connect with God. And that can be very strengthening. God ministers to you through that. Hopefully, when you hear teaching, whether it's here on Sunday morning in a life group or just conversations with other people, you begin to learn more about God, how He operates, how He loves you, how forgiveness works. All of that is strengthening. All of that is getting rid of the weight, and it's building strength. We want to be about those things. Those are the two obvious things at a gym, right? You go to lose weight, you go to gain strength. But as I was thinking about this week, there's another one I think that's a key role, a key thing which keeps people paying gym dues, and it's this one. You know, in a sense, we don't need gyms. We don't need athletic trainers. If any of you are athletic trainers, I'm sorry, just let me make my point. Most of the stuff you do in a gym, you can do at home. Now, you might not have all the fancy equipment, but if you want to lose weight and gain strength, you can do that at home. You can buy a few simple pieces of machinery or start learning exercises that you use your own body weight for resistance, a lot of those out there. You can change your eating habits. You don't need to go to a gym. So the question is, why do people spend so much money to go to a gym? It's so much more fun to work out or to do whatever it is you do in a gym, even if it's just coffee, drink coffee. It's so much more fun to do that with other people, I can attest to this personally. I was in a program with some other people a number of years ago at the Y, and I did that for a season. And it is hard to maintain some habits when there's no one watching. There's no one asking. There's no one checking. There's no one making you stand on a scale every week and writing down the number in their notebook. When that doesn't happen, it's a lot easier to start getting a little bit more relaxed about this race that you're on. So this is where verse 1 comes in that we just read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the author here is referring to the Old Testament saints, these great heroes of faith in the Old Testament. But for us, that means, sure, them, we read the stories of David, we read the stories of Samuel, we read those stories, but we also are aware of people in our own circle that are pursuing God. Yeah, they make mistakes. Yeah, they stumble sometimes, but they get back up and they keep pursuing. That's part of how we become like a gym, is we create an atmosphere where we're encouraging one another. We're pushing one another on. Yeah, you can do this. How's this going? I prayed with you last week about this issue. How's it going? How did your week go? That is how we become like a gym. So can we become like a gym? Can we become like a gym? Can we be a place where we are helping people get rid of the weight, gain strength, and then create an atmosphere of encouragement? So as I did last Sunday, I wanted to give you a personal connection with an individual I thought connected with this topic. So Michael, come on up, join me up here. Come on over here. This is Michael Brindley, everybody. A lot of you know Michael, I think. Michael's been coming here for probably, what do we say, about 6 years, six-ish, something like that. And Michael came to my mind when I was thinking about this. I'll just start by saying this, and then we'll get into the details a little bit more. Michael is not the same person. He's not the same person he was when he came here 6 years ago. So when we were talking, you said like two words to me that kind of described when you first came to Living Hope, sort of like this oversensitivity and insecurity. Talk a little bit, what did that look like? Like how did that work when you first started coming to Living Hope?
When I first came here, there were a number of times I was uncomfortable about other people, but sometimes sensed most times wrong that people were rejecting me, hostile towards me and things like that, and I would actually want to leave the church, and that was something that I, you know, try to do, but thanks to some people, they kept me here.
I didn't tell you this week. It just came to my mind now. I remember one of the first times that Michael was here, he came to me after whatever the event was, and he said, I'm going to go now. I'm not coming back. I'm never coming back. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that?
I don't remember that.
You said, I'm not coming back.
I believe it, though.
And I was very calm about it. I said, Okay? You know, why do you say that? We had a little conversation, but it just, that was something you really dealt with at that time in your journey. And then, so that's sort of this thing that was weight. That was weight that you were carrying. This, a lot of insecurity, a lot of uncertainty. I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I sort of encountered this at a church I went to before here. Some things that I brought up that I encountered there was some negativity and hostility towards me, and I just sort of got rejected there eventually, and so I was uncomfortable coming here, but I came here because it was convenient.
At that time, you lived right up the street,
yes.
So this was a convenient location for you.
Yes.
So when I ask you about if that's the weight that God has helped you to lose, like how did that work in terms of gaining strength? Like you mentioned two things to me when we were talking. Your insecurity became confidence, and the Holy Spirit played a huge role in this. Just talk about those things.
Well, my confidence came from the fact that there were people here that showed support of me and encouraged me. I one time mentioned a very serious fault that I had, and I thought at the other church I would have been ridiculed and would have been felt uncomfortable, and that I would have left here. The opposite happened. Some men here, some that are still here, some who are elsewhere, came and supported me and showed me the love and kindness and welcomed me here despite the knowing of this one problem that I had, this one sin that I encountered with my life. Instead of spreading it around and having being felt uncomfortable coming into the church the next Sunday, they reached out. And it's the first time that I've experienced that kind of an environment within a church.
And how did the Holy Spirit play into this? That's the other thing you really stressed with me.
Well, the Holy Spirit is what is changing me as an individual. Mm-hmm. I'm believing in the power of God is working in my heart and in my spirit. And I'm believing that the things that I am and the things that I'm becoming is based on the Holy Spirit. And I have met the Holy Spirit here. I heard the Holy Spirit was just a concept, something you didn't really discuss very much in the other churches. We did not seem to be in certain groups, charismatics, Pentecostals, and all that, had all these labels. And I actually feel uncomfortable about some of these people until I came here. And I read in the Word so many places in Paul's epistles, and John even mentions it in a number of places, the need of the Holy Spirit to be within our lives to enable us to do what God wants us to do. We cannot do things on our own effort. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need the guidance of Christ who works through the Holy Spirit. And I praise God for this. And this is something that I encountered here in such a way. And people that help support me in my growth and my learning. I'm still learning. I'm still moving forward.
If I could insert there really quickly, Michael was sharing with me this week, and he started mentioning names of people that have really played a significant role in his life. It wasn't 20 names. It wasn't 10 names. I'm not even sure it was 5 names. I think it was in the 3 to 4 range, maybe around 5. My point is simply this. God is not calling any of you to minister to all of us. Ask God who the 1 or 2 people are that you were to come alongside of and help them get stronger. That's how it works in a gym. You know, not everybody is in everybody's business. There's usually 3 or 4 people over there that are working on a particular exercise or taking a class or whatever. So I know you had a scripture yet you wanted to share. I can read this. I'm hold this for you, rather. You do the reading. I'll hold the mic. You felt this captured what we're talking about well.
Yes. It's Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Michael. That's process language, right? Forgetting what is behind, I press forward to what is ahead. That's not event language. That's process language. That's this journey we're on. I didn't ask Michael to share as a way of like just lifting up living hope or anything like that. But first of all, I think we all need to be reminded that that is how God uses the local church. That's what the local church does. That's when you connect to a local church. You're putting yourself in an environment where that type of thing can happen. I know that this is happening at Living Hope. I know that there are many of you that are walking alongside of other people, and I wanted to use this opportunity just to thank you for that and just to say, let's do it all the more. Let's do it all the more. Let's be like a gym. Let's help people get rid of weight. Let's help people gain strength in a context and environment of encouragement. Okay, that's enough on the gym. Let's go to the next one now. This one might have, you probably guessed as to what this was. A launch pad. Can Living Hope be like a launch pad? The function of a physical launch pad for a rocket is pretty similar. It just helps a rocket get moving. Get off the ground, go somewhere, you know? Get moving, get off the ground, go somewhere. A launch pad is not a dwelling place. A launch pad is a starting point, okay? You don't live at the launch pad. A launch pad, by design, is temporary. If the rocket makes a permanent dwelling at the launch pad, something's wrong with that picture. It's not supposed to work that way. Matthew 9 for this one. Let's go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. And you'll find this on page 687 if you're using one of the guest Bibles. And we're going to come in the latter part of the chapter here, verse 35. I'm going to read across a few verses into chapter 10 as well. Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Let's just pause there for a moment and notice something. First of all, Jesus' heart of compassion, like a shepherd, he used this shepherding word, it says that he looked at the people. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And that stirred his compassion. I hope, I pray, that we are stirred with compassion when we see the hurting, helpless, harassed people, both in here and out there, where we live, where we work. Jesus was moved by that. And it was interesting. He said to his disciples in verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful." Now he went from the shepherding, when Matthew wrote this, he used the shepherding analogy. But now Jesus used a farming analogy when he said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Farmers get this far better than I do, but it's if there's one time of the year when you really need your workers, it's when the harvest is ready. You can't mess around. You can't waste time when the harvest is ready, because if you delay, you're going to lose the harvest. And Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So Jesus said, his next statement was, "Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Ask the Lord of the harvest, speaking of the Father, ask him to send out workers. Note one thing there, God sends the workers. God is the one that sends the workers, okay? Ask the Lord of the harvest. So the posture of followers of Christ should be this constant intercession, God send workers. God send workers. We need workers. God send workers. Now, we would make a tragic mistake if we stopped at the end of chapter 9. Why? Notice what happens at the beginning of chapter 10. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now in verse 2 and 3 and 4, we have the names. I'm going to skip over that. In verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. Now get what's happening here. First, Jesus said, "Pray for workers." But then it's like, oh, by the way, you're getting sent too. You never pray for workers and exclude yourself from the prayer. That's the point. You cannot pray for workers and exclude yourself from the prayer. So Jesus said to the disciples, pray for workers. The need for workers is great. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth workers. And now you better get out there too. That's what you see in verse 10. Jesus gave them authority. He anointed them. He gave them this power to be able to go and serve him. So God is the Lord. He's the one that does the sending. Jesus coming to earth was a sending mission. Jesus was launched to earth, if you will, by the Father to come and represent him here, to come and be among the people, to come to teach, to display, to model, ultimately to die, to pay the price for the sins of the planet, and to raise again. But Jesus is calling us to join him in that mission. Let me just make a few observations that I think might be helpful about this thing of a launch pad. A launch pad provides a necessary support structure. Like that's sort of one of the old NASA launch pads. They look a lot more complicated than that now. But you see, the launch pad provides the structure. It holds the rocket, in this case, in place, pointed the right direction, supported. So we, as individuals, are called by God to go, to serve in a whole variety of ways. Can Living Hope be a place that is a support structure for that, a support system for that? Deb, I just looked back. I saw you sitting there. It's been so cool to see how God has been using Deb in Operation Christmas Child. I hope in some way that Living Hope has been a support to you in that. Like we've come around you, we've encouraged you. God called you, God sent you. You're the one that has to walk in that, but our role, and I'm just picking out Deb, I could go around and talk many of you, and that's something outside the congregation. There are many, many ministries inside the congregation, ways you are serving. Our role as a church is to support, to help that person, to be pointed in the right direction, to be encouraged, we talked about that earlier, to create this support structure. For those of you who are in a life group, encourage, support your life group leader. For parents who have these children's ministers ministering to your children each week, thank them, encourage them, support them. Say, how can I pray for you? That's kind of how a launch pad works, this thing of support. But then here's another one that actually connects the gym and the launch pad, and I think it's an interesting way. A launch pad provides an outlet for gym strength. Now, that's a grotesque arm. I'm sorry. Some people get into that stuff. I don't really get into that, as you can tell. No comments from the peanut gallery over there. Here's the deal. Are you ready? Here's the deal. The church must always maintain a launch pad mentality, or else we will have a bodybuilders club. Say that again. What? A church must maintain a launch pad mentality, or else we're just going to have a bodybuilders club. Here's what I mean for that. Now, I don't know a lot about bodybuilding. I don't know if we have any bodybuilders in here. If we do, I hope I don't upset you because I'm afraid you might hurt me. But I think most times when people pursue strength training, it is for a purpose. I'm amazed at how much more, even at the high school level, sports teams are including the gym in their practices. Like when I was in high school, you just went out on the field, you play baseball. I mean, now they have gyms. Now these kids are lifting weights. They're doing all these things. Why? To prepare for the sport, to prepare for the game, to play your role on the team. Bodybuilding, on the other hand, is just building muscles for people to look at. Now, maybe there's more to bodybuilding, but I think that pretty much it's about aesthetics. It's about defining all the muscles and getting them to look a certain way, but it's for people to look at. This whole thing of wanting to become a gym is not so we can become some kind of church for people to look at. The strength that we are pursuing is unto something. It's for a reason. It's so it can be used As we mature, what do you do with that maturity? As God is teaching you things, what are you going to do with that? Here's the second part I would say with that. Once a launchpad mentality fades from the church, it is replaced with a consumer mentality. Once we lose the idea or this realization that we are constantly called to go, we are constantly called to serve, the church must be a launchpad sending people to whatever assignment it is that the Lord of the harvest gives them. Once we lose that, we develop a consumer culture where it's all about what I receive. How am I blessed? Oh, I got a lot out of worship this morning. It was really fun. The sermon helped me. I feel a little better now. It helped me understand this thing in my marriage. All that stuff I just said is good. But if it doesn't equate to God, how do I serve in the harvest? We are developing a consumer culture where it's all about me. I want to find a church with the best youth group, with the nicest building, with the awesomest worship team or whatever, because I enjoy all that stuff. Again, nothing wrong with any of those things I just said, but we have to guard against this consumer mentality. One more thing I'd say about a launch pad. Every analogy breaks down at some point, and there is a potential grave error in thinking about a launch pad, and here's what it is. We must think about the Jesus launch pad and not the NASA launch pad. Let me explain. Last summer, just this past summer, Molly read somewhere on Facebook or whatever that Wallops Island, which is one of the launch sites that NASA uses, I can't give you all the details, sorry, I'm not into it that much, but they were putting up a rocket that was carrying with it these canisters that had some type of colored something or another in them. Those of you who are into that might remember this. But when this thing was about 100 miles in the air, they were going to release these canisters into the atmosphere, and it was supposed to create almost like this Northern Lights deal. I'm sure on a much smaller scale. I'm not even sure what they were studying, but Molly was telling me, like, that's awesome. And we've learned that there's a couple places here. If you go up on Sam Lewis State Park at Sam Lewis, there's a couple other places where if you can see kind of southeast, you can see a rocket launch from Wallops Island. So we were like, all about it. Yeah, this is great. It's happening tonight. Let's go. We went. It didn't happen. They scrubbed the launch right at the last minute. Something wasn't quite right. So then it was postponed for the next night. So, oh, this is still going to be cool. We're going to go. We're going to go. We're going to see it. It didn't go that night. We went like four or five times to see this stupid rocket, and it never was launched. It never got off the launch pad. Then they changed it. They said, well, now we're going to shoot it up at like 3 a.m. or something. I'm like, well, I'm sorry. It's not that exciting to me. Plus, it's dark at 3 a.m. Like, they were breaking my heart. Like, I want to see this cool thing, and they just would not send the stupid rocket. Why? Because for a NASA launch pad to push the launch button, everything has to be just right. Everything. Everything has to be perfect. Now, here's the problem. The church, if it's not careful, if she's not careful, develops a NASA approach to launching. And what I mean by that is I could never lead a life group. Like, I don't know. I don't understand prophecy. Like, I've never even read Revelation. That book freaks me out. You know, I don't know how to answer every known question to man. I could never be a life group leader. I would have to go to school. I would have to learn so much more. I would have to fix my whole life so that I don't have any faults. You see where I'm going? A NASA launch pad idea is that you can't launch until everything's perfect. We don't want that kind of launch pad at Living Hope. We want a Jesus launch pad. What do I mean by that? If you read through the New Testament, if you read through the Gospels, the disciples were a mess, were they not? Like, they were fighting over who was the greatest. They were debating with Jesus. No, don't talk like they're going to crucify you. That can't be of God. That's no good. And they were just a mess. Jesus sent them anyway. He would send them. He would give them power and authority. He would send them. They would come back all excited about certain things. I'm sure they came back with some stories of dumb things they had done and ways they had failed. And Jesus would teach them some more. Then he would send them again. Then they would come back. Then he would teach them some more. Then he would send them again. By the time Jesus' 3 years of ministry on earth were over, in the flesh, there was no way. There was no way these 12 guys were going to be able to carry forward this new good news that was going to change the world. They were still, I mean, right at the time of Jesus' death, they were deserting him, they were denying him, you know, they were confused, they didn't know what was going on. It didn't matter, because Jesus knew that when they were launched into the harvest, the Holy Spirit would empower them with what they needed, when they needed it, even though they didn't understand it all, even though they got it wrong sometimes, even though they started bickering over who was the greatest. That's the story of our lives. We have to have a Jesus launch pad. We have to have a Jesus launch pad. Okay, let's wrap up here. In this sequence, like if you look at the icons across the center screen, then we start with encounter. That must come first, okay? Well, then the hospital idea is connecting with people that are hurting, that are broken. We want to see healing there. Then we move to the gym. Okay, like once you have heart surgery, now you have to strengthen your body to walk in ways that are going to be healthy to this repair done to your heart. So then you kind of get into the gym analogy. And then at the tail end there, we have this thing of this launch pad, of being sent into the harvest. This is not a linear thing, though. And we shouldn't view the launch pad just as the last thing, because the launch pad, people being sent, is how you make connection with people that are hurting and bring them into a hospital atmosphere. Does that make sense? It's just a circle. It's a circle. There's always launching. There's always hospital ministry. There's always gym ministry. They're intertwined. I want to share a scripture with you as we wrap up here from Ezekiel. This was a scripture that the Lord impressed on me during my sabbatical last summer. You remember when the passage we read from Matthew, where it talks about Jesus saying that he looked at the people, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. That exact same theme appears in Ezekiel 34. In Ezekiel 34, it says this way. God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he talks about the same thing. Like the shepherds of Israel are horrible shepherds. They're abusing the sheep. They're not caring for the sheep. And God gets to a point in Ezekiel 34 where he says, I myself will shepherd. I will shepherd Israel. And then he goes on to describe what that will look like when he shepherds his people. He said, this is what I will do. He said, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. That's the first thing he said. There's going to be three things. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. We cannot search for the lost or bring back any strays if we're not sending anyone. That's a sent ministry. You need to be sent on this thing of searching. That's evangelism. That's outreach. That's community outreach. That's the Arbor Park community room. That's a sent type of thing. When God says, I will, we can insert the word go. I will go. I will search for the strays. And as I find them, or for the lost, and I will bring back the strays. So in that first part of the verse, I see this thing of sending, of launching, of going. What does he say next? He said, I will bind up the injured. I will bind up the injured. Hospital, right? I will bind up the injured. And then the final thing he said, I will strengthen the weak. It's all really right there in this one verse. Searching for the lost, searching for the strays, binding up the injured, and strengthening the weak. If that is how God says he would shepherd his people, isn't that how the church should function? If we are his representatives, serving him. Searching for the lost, bringing back the strays, binding up the injured, and strengthening the weak. So at the end of the day, the heart of a hospital ministry is its love, its compassion. The goal of a gym ministry is transformation, seeing people made stronger, seeing people get rid of all that junk from their past. It's about transformation. And the sole purpose of a launch pad is to send. And again, I know sometimes when we talk about sending workers into the harvest, right away we go like, well, missions, I don't know that there's really a mission call in my life. I would challenge every single one of you in this room who have accepted Christ to ask God what the two ways are that he wants to send you. I think there's two ways that he wants to send every one of us. How does he want to send you here, and how does he want to send you there? And here's what I mean by that. I believe to be part of a local body, a part of a local body of Christ, it is a very healthy thing to ask God, how can I serve this body? That's the here. How do you want to send me here? Say, well, it's not really sent if I'm still here. Of course it is. People are being sent into life group ministry. People are being sent into children's ministry. People are being sent into hospitality ministries. People are being sent into all kinds of things within the body. That's the here. God, what do you have for me here? And what do you have for me there? Well, where's there? Ask God where there is. It's someone other than here. It's somewhere other than here. That's all I know about there. It's not here. It could be in Arbor Park. It could be in the school that your kids go to. It could be in your neighborhood. It could be in your workplace. You know, maybe someone wants to start an alpha, a lunchtime alpha in their workplace. I mean, that just popped into my head. Here and there. God wants to send you here and there, I believe. That'd be my suggestion. Seek God for how you are sent here and how you were sent there. As we get a hold of that as a church, we will continue to see the hospital things happening, the gym things happening, involving or resulting in more sending, more reaching out, that this cycle just continues. All of it, of course, is based on encounter. Seeking God's face, hearing his voice, knowing his will, being empowered by his spirit. That must come first. That must come first, and everything else flows out of that. I hope those pictures can be helpful for you as you think about the function of the church. Those three things of a hospital, a gym, and a launch pad. Next Sunday, we're devoting the entire morning to basically coming before God in his presence and asking him to do this among us. God, we want to be these things. We want to be them all the more. I think they're all present, but we want to be them all the more. We want to see them all the more. So we come together next Sunday in this time of Thanksgiving to thank God, to praise him, and to seek him for this. Also, I mentioned at the end of the service last Sunday that God seems to be highlighting that we're in a season of opposition at Living Hope. In a spiritual sense, and even in the natural, there just seem to be a lot of people among us that are walking through a lot of difficult things. That's another reason we're going to take all morning next Sunday to just cry out to God, to ask for his touch, to ask for his healing, to ask for him to reveal what we need to see, to know what we need to know, to speak words of assurance to us. So I hope you can join us. I hope you can join us. It's just going to be a morning. We're going to have some worship. We're going to have a communion, just acknowledging the centrality of Jesus and the blood of Jesus in this whole journey for us. And we will spend time in prayer, crying out to God. So the other thing I would encourage you in that, ask God if there is some element of fasting you could include in the week as preparation for Sunday. I'm not going to make a big, huge presentation about that. Some of you may have never done that before. Others of you are acquainted with fasting on various levels. Fasting is simply a way where we deny ourselves, primarily food. I know some people fast other things. But to some degree, we deny ourselves food because what happens then is the body will start to whine like a two-year-old. The body will whine and whine. I'm hungry. I'm going to die if I don't eat something within the next 3 minutes. And you take that opportunity to conquer your flesh and say, no, I'm not going to eat, but I am going to pray. That's like a really little nutshell of what fasting does. So I'd encourage you to consider that for next week. Also, I said last Sunday, for those of you who are in one of those places, you're struggling with something, you're not sure what God is doing, you're not sure what he's saying, you're not sure like what the next steps are, the encouragement that I gave last Sunday, the challenge I gave last Sunday was let someone else know where you are. Reach out to one or two people connect with them somehow, email, Facebook, phone call, whatever, and say, look, can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? They're not going to know the answers. Don't call them expecting an answer. Just saying, can you pray with me? And then next Sunday, we're going to all get together and continue to pray together. Okay? All right. Everybody stand. We're going to pray. Father, can you show us how it is that we can be used all the more in these ways we've been talking about? God, that Living Hope Community Church would be a place where we are sending people both here and there with the story of what you've done in our lives. And God, as we encounter people that are strays, that are lost, they've strayed away from the church, perhaps. They've strayed away from you because of various situations. Maybe they're lost. They don't know you. God, as we encounter people like that, that we could become or continue to be even more a hospital atmosphere where the wounded, the hurting are ministered to. They find healing in you. And then also an atmosphere of a gym where we're constantly encouraging and training and strengthening, pressing one another forward in you. Holy Spirit, we can't do any of those things without you, but we pray that you would be released more and more at Living Hope, that we could walk in obedience to the things you're calling the church to be. I thank you for each person here, the gifts you've placed in them, the interests, the passions you've placed in them. And God, I got to believe that as each of them individually are released into areas of passion and interest, that the results that we see by the power of the Spirit will be nothing short of incredible, nothing short of miraculous. So we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and do that among us. We pray that as we walk through this week ahead, and as we think of our time next Sunday, you'd be preparing us for an encounter with you, that we would hear your voice and we would be strengthened, encouraged, whatever it is, God, that we would meet you. So go with us now today as we go from here to there, to our homes, to our communities, workplaces, families, whatever it is, God, that we would be workers in your harvest. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks for being with us. You're dismissed. If there's any way we can pray with you, of course, we're always open to doing that. And have a wonderful day. God bless.